Well, amen. Thank the Lord for the privilege to be back in the house of God. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. And then also he said, we went to the house of God in company. Yes. And then the psalmist said, enter the courts with praise. Amen. Well, we can do that, for the Bible tells us in Ephesians that we're to sing and make melody in our heart unto the Lord. Amen. I'm not a singer, I can't sing. But I can sing and make melody in my heart to the Lord. Amen. We can all do that. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here today, this morning, this evening. Appreciate being with Brother Bell and part of his family. Good to see you folks. Always a blessing to be here. I trust you'll pray for me and pray for my family, and pray the Lord will help us to be faithful, and then also pray for the work, the church. I tell you, these days are days when it seems like that it's just, in other words, harder and harder. And I say that, I'm not discouraged, but we're just living in those days. But another thing, God is on his throne. There's nothing impossible with the Lord, nothing too hard for the Lord to do. So I just need to ask the Lord to increase my faith and help my unbelief. Amen. You ever prayed, you ever did that?
I do.
I do that a lot. Lord, increase my faith, help my unbelief. Amen. I'm going to read tonight in Genesis chapter 3, and I'll begin with verse 1. And read down through this chapter a few verses and bring the message I feel the Lord has given me for tonight. Appreciate the good words, Brother Tim. Appreciate the good word of God. Well, the word's always good for us, and it's good to us. And I'm thankful and grateful that God's preserved it for us and that we're able to hear it. Genesis chapter 3, I began with verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not surely eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Amen. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I command thee that thou shouldest not eat thereof? You know, God asked Adam some questions. It wasn't that God didn't know. It's because that God wanted Adam to know where he was at. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. The Lord God said unto the woman, What is this thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Excuse me. And I'll put in between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception in sorrow shall thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. I want to stop with those verses and look at them just for a moment here in this third chapter of the book of Genesis. In this third chapter, we read tonight some verses that are very familiar to us. We all know them, I'm sure. When I read them, I think about how that the old devil is so crafty. The Bible said that he's more subtle than all of the beasts of the field. The devil's pretty wise, really is. I'm no match for him, and you are not either. But here in these verses, we find out that the Bible tells us the old devil came and tempted Eve and caused Eve to sin and also caused Adam to sin. I want us to notice a couple of verses, and I want to use this for the text, these two verses for the text tonight. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. The old serpent said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now that verse, the Bible said that the devil is more subtle than any beast of the field. Now let's look down at verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. I want to use those verses along with these I've read, and I want to preach tonight on the devil is to blame. Now, we blame the devil for a lot of things he may not be guilty of. But the things I'm going to mention tonight, the devil is guilty. The devil is to blame. You know, when you think about the devil, a lot of folks got a wrong conception of the devil. They've been taught that the devil is some creature with a red suit and a forked tail and a pitchfork. That's right. But when you read the Bible says the devil is a spirit. And also, no one has ever seen the devil. Just like no one's ever seen God. Oh, I know. Jesse Duplantis said he went to heaven 5 days and 15 minutes and said he was there and saw, I think, a lot of things. That's not the only lie he tells. Now, you can take that the way it is. I'm telling you the truth. The Bible said no man has seen God at any time and lived. And the Word also said that Paul was caught to the third heaven, the paradise of God, and heard things unspeakable for a man to utter. Never mentioned what he saw. But God wouldn't even let Paul tell what he heard. So I'm sure if he wouldn't let Paul tell it, he won't let Jesse tell it. So what I'm trying to say is the devil is a deceiver, the devil's a liar, the devil is like a roaring lion going to and fro on the earth, devouring who he may. The devil's the blame, a lot of things. Sometimes people look at the situations, the circumstances, and say, well, it's just happening. But there's a cause for that. There's a reason behind it. And I could mention a lot of those tonight. Time would fail me. Well, I preach tonight on the devil is the blame. I want to say, first of all, the devil is the blame for the fall of man. That's in the Bible. That's true. See, God made Adam out of the dust of the earth and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. As I said this morning, God didn't make a robot. God didn't make a machine. God made a man. When God made that man his own image, his own likeness, that man could reason, think, make choices, decisions. And God said to Adam, now Adam, by the way, when I read that, the Bible said God put Adam in the garden to dress and keep it. I mean, God had a job for Adam. But God said to Adam, now of all the trees in the midst of the garden, you can take of but except one tree. If you take of that tree, you'll die. The old devil, he'd already been cast out of heaven. I may say a little more about that, but he'd already been cast out of heaven, and the Bible tells us he came and he appeared to Eve, the weaker vessel.
Amen.
A lot of feminine movement don't like that. And the ERA don't like that.
Amen.
Hillary wouldn't appreciate it. And all these women running for the presidency and running in these politics.
Amen.
The Bible said that the woman is the weaker vessel.
Amen.
Whether they like it or not, it's still true.
Amen.
The devil didn't come to Adam.
Nope.
But the devil came to Eve.
Right.
God had not given Eve the commandment. God had given Adam the commandment.
Amen.
Is that not true?
Sure.
God gave the commandment to Adam.
Amen.
But also Eve knew. The old devil, the Bible says, came and therefore tempted Eve. The Bible said that she saw the fruit, looked upon it, lusted after it, but in the end she lost. Let's say, first of all, the devil is the reason for the fall of man. God made man upright. Put him in a perfect environment. I mean, man in the image of God had everything that he needed. Perfect man, perfect woman, perfect environment. But yet the Bible said that Adam partook of the fruit, and when he did, Adam fell. And man is a fallen creature.
Amen.
Now, Joel Osteen is preaching a gospel that what you gonna do, all you need to do is find out really how good you are. And pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, and in other words, find out God has really got something for you.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing God's got for a sinner is salvation.
Amen.
That's all he's got for him.
Amen.
Now he may get religion, he may reform,
right. But
unless he gets regenerated, born again, he will perish forever and forever. So the devil is the reason for the fall of man. He deceived Eve, the weaker vessel. The Bible said Eve was deceived. Adam wasn't deceived, but Eve was deceived. Also, not only did Adam, in other words, not only the devil deceived Eve, but also he caused death enter into the human race. If Adam had not sinned, there'd be no death, physically or spiritually. But since Adam disobeyed God, and God had told him, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And Adam ate of that fruit, and that day he died spiritually. He'd walked with God in the garden, the cool of the day, walked in the light because God is light. You know how I believe the devil deceived Eve? He transformed himself into an angel of light. All Adam ever knew and Eve ever knew was light. Because God is light, they walked with in the light. In other words, and the only way the devil could have deceived Eve was by transforming himself into an angel of light. And here's Adam and Eve now, walking with God in the garden, the cool of the day. In other words, God is light. But God said, Adam, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.
Right.
And that day, Adam died spiritually.
Amen.
That day, Adam lost fellowship with God.
Yeah.
That day Adam became afraid of God. Do you know Adam never had been afraid of God before? But now Adam's become afraid. You know why he's become afraid? He's disobeyed God, broken God's law, and therefore became a sinner. And he's got the sentence of death on him. He died spiritually that day. 930 years later, I believe he died physically. See, when Adam sinned, Adam died spiritually and therefore separated from God and God's fellowship. I like God's grace. Adam didn't deserve what God did for him. Adam's broken God's law. Adam is afraid. Adam is running and hiding. He and Eve has made fig leaves up aprons, tried to cover their nakedness, and God took the initiative. Adam was running from God. Adam was afraid of God. Adam was hiding from God, but God went after Adam. And God said, "Adam, where art thou?" He knew where Adam was, but he wanted Adam to know where Adam was. God took the initiative. That's grace. In other words, God went after Adam. In other words, he took the initiative, went after him, and spoke to him. No, Adam confessed. Yeah, he did. He confessed. He said, "Partook of the fruit." But he tried to pass the buck, but God said that won't work. He tried to blame the woman, but he couldn't blame the woman because God didn't give the woman the commandment. He gave Adam the commandment. But you know what God did? God provided a covering. God provided salvation. And God himself slay animals and shed blood and took the skins of those animals and covered Adam and Eve and sent them out of the garden. If you notice, God didn't say, "Adam, would you help me catch that animal? Eve, would you run down for yourself?" It's not by works. God did it all. And salvation is of the Lord. The old devil's always thought he's a winner, but he's always a loser. When I think about how God made Adam out of the dust of the earth and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, in his own image, his own likeness, but you know God had made an anointed cherub. Yeah, God made that anointed cherub. And he wasn't a robot either. Nor was he a machine. He was a personality, a spirit. The Bible says that he was the anointed cherub. But you know, one day that old devil said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be like God. I'm going to exalt my throne above God's throne aside the north. I'm tired being a creature. I'm going to be like the Creator. I'm tired being a servant. I'm going to be a sovereign. And I'm going to exalt my throne above God's throne in the side of the north." You know, we don't want to know where heaven's at? In the side of the north. Now don't jump out of the boat on me. I'm not going to deal with that. But the Bible tells us that God created Adam and Adam sinned and God went after Adam. But when the devil sinned, there was no salvation. In other words, when the devil sinned, the Bible tells us that God cast him out of heaven. I'd rather be a human being than an angel.
Amen.
When angels sin, they're doomed forever.
Amen.
But Adam sinned and God saved him.
Amen.
The devil is the blame for the fall of man.
Amen.
It brought spiritual death, it brought physical death, and eventually it brings the second death. When man dies without being made experience that spiritual birth in this walk of life, and he dies that physical death, he's going to suffer throughout all eternity the second death.
Amen.
Separation from God.
Amen.
The devil is the blame for the fall of man.
Amen.
So I blame him for it. A lot of things I can't blame him for, but it's one thing I can blame the devil for, and that is the fall of man.
Amen.
He caused Eve to sin, deceived her, brought death upon Adam and Eve, caused them to be departed out of the Garden of Eden, a place of worship, pure worship. But you know something else the devil is blamed for? The devil's the blame not only for the fall of man, but the devil is the blame for that conflict and that fight between good and evil. Adam and Eve didn't have a warfare or a conflict. Didn't even know good from evil. They didn't know good from evil. All they knew was good. And the old devil said, yes, God is not fair with you. God is not treating you right. God knows if you take of that fruit that you'll be like gods and you'll know good from evil. They did not know good from evil until they partook of that fruit. And once they partook of that fruit, they found out the difference between good and evil, and there was that conflict, that fight, that warfare. That's why they ran. And ever since that time, in the human family, there's always been that conflict, that fight between good and evil, righteousness, unrighteousness. You know who's caused that? You know why that is? The devil. The devil caused that. The devil's the blame for this fight that we have in this human family. So they said, the old devil, you know, has beginning in heaven. But also the Bible tells us before the devil tempted Adam or tempted Eve and brought that man and woman down to sin, the Bible tells us before that there was no sin. Before that there was no suffering. And by the way, I did read in the Bible where God told Eve, you're going to suffer with childbearing. This charismatic bunch aggravates me. And every chance I get, I hit them. Somebody said, I don't think I ought to say anything about them. Years ago, I heard old Paul Crouch's wife, what was her name, Jan, with all that pink, purple hair and all that stuff. She said, well, my little daughter was pregnant and she was going to have a baby. And she said, Mama, I don't want to hurt and I don't want to have any pain and I don't want to suffer. And old Jan Crouch said she prayed and her daughter didn't have a bit of pain. Now let me tell you something. She lied. For that word said that every woman that bears children in childbearing is going to have pain. There's going to be suffering in this world because of sin and also that separation. And the devil is the blame.
That's right.
He's the blame. And by the way, he's not in hell. And he's not running around in a red suit with a pitchfork in his hand and a forked tail. He's very present and active in this present evil world. And he's everywhere. His demons, however you want to use that. The devil is working. He knows his time is short. He's working in religion. Working in politics. You didn't say amen. The devil is the blame for all the suffering in the human family. He's the blame. He's the blame. That's right. You know why you get sick? You know why you suffer? You know why you die? It all started back there in the Garden of Eden when the old devil came and therefore deceived Eve and caused Adam and Eve to sin and brought sin in the world and death upon men and suffering. God said to Adam, from this day forth, in other words, you'll have thorns and thistles and earn your living by the sweat of your brow. So suffering came upon Eve, suffering came upon Adam. And ever since then, there's been that sin nature in every person. There's been that separation from God until they regenerated and reconciled, and there's always going to be suffering. Always. I have it, you have it, we all have it. The devil's the blame. He's the blame for the fall of man. He's the blame for the fight between good and evil. righteousness and unrighteousness. But listen now, and listen closely. The devil is the blame for the fires of hell. There would be no hell if there wasn't a devil. Do you know that? How you know? I read the Bible. When God cast old anointed cherub out of heaven, our Lord Jesus said, I saw Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Then you know what our Lord said? Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. If there had not been a devil, there'd be no hell. But since there is a devil, there is a hell, and it's a real hell, real fire and brimstone, and our Lord Jesus believed in a real hell. Now, a lot of folks don't, but our Lord did. As a matter of fact, our Lord created it. He didn't create it for the souls of men, but he created it for the devil and his angels. Now, souls of men go simply because they'll not repent and not put their faith in the finished work that our brother talked about earlier. But I'm going to say to you, people in hell are out of place. It wasn't prepared for the souls of men. The Calvinists, I've been around them for these years. I get around them. The Calvinists are the hypocrites. Do you know that? These hyper-Calvinists. I know I've been around them. I've preached with them, been in meetings with them through the years. And if you get in a meeting where they don't believe in Calvinism, they won't mention it. But if you get in a meeting where there's kindly a little Calvinistic doctrine, brother, they really get on it. That's hypocritical. I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe, as Augustine and others have advocated and indoctrinated people in saying, that even babies an inch long will go to hell. Now, let me tell you something. That's not true. Now, hell's real. Hell's got fire. Hell's got brimstone. Hell is forever. People do die and go to hell. But it's not God's will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And the old devil does everything he can in religion and even other means to deceive people, mislead people, lie to people, because the devil wants people to go to hell. And he's going. And he knows he's going. And he knows his time is short. Amen. Our Lord Jesus believed in a real, literal, burning hell. Amen. But the reason for hell is because of the devil. He's to blame. I blame him for it. Because the Bible tells us, prepared for the devil and his angels. So when a person leaves this world without being saved and goes to hell, he's out of place. God never intended for people to go to hell. The Calvinists say that God elected some to be saved and elected some not to be saved. Now, you don't read that in the Bible. Well, they say, what about Esau and Jacob? What about Esau and Jacob? Well, you said the Bible said God said he loved Jacob and hated Esau. Yeah. Amen. But God's not talking about salvation. Amen. I will say amen. Amen. The devil is the blame for the fire of hell. Yes. He's the blame for it. Let's give him the let's lay it on him, because he's the blame. The Bible tells us that our Lord Jesus, and I think Brother Tim mentioned it, someone did somewhere along the line today, that the Lord Jesus said more about hell than he did heaven. It wasn't because he hated people. It wasn't because he wanted people to go there. It's because he loved them and didn't want them to go. And that's why our Lord spent more time talking about hell than did heaven, because he didn't want people to go to hell. It wasn't prepared for them. Boy, it's good to be saved, folks. The most wonderful thing in life is salvation. Not religion. Salvation. So here in our text tonight, in these verses, the Bible said that devil was more subtle than any other beast of the field. He came to the weaker vessel. He lied to her, deceived her. And the Bible said she gave to her husband and he ate. And when they did, they fell. The devil was the cause of that. See, the devil is mad and angry with God. You do know that, don't you?
Yes.
See, a lot of folks got the idea, here, and a lot of them are this way, there's a good God and a good devil. No, there's a good God and a mean devil.
Yes.
There's a holy God and a holy devil.
Yes.
There's a righteous God and an unrighteous devil.
Yes.
There's a wonderful God and a wicked, low-down devil.
Yes.
I'm telling you, in these days, you hear very little about the devil. Hear very little about hell. All you hear about is prosperity. All you hear about is religion. All you hear about is, my friend, in other words, getting some kind of denominational name. I got news for you. This world doesn't need religion. It needs regeneration. The old devil was religious. Was it Brother Glenn this morning read those verses in James? The old devil believes and trembles. But hell was prepared for him, and he's dead certain to go. Years ago, I had a preacher to preach for me in a meeting, and he preached a sermon, and he made the statement, "Oh, I'm glad the devil's going to hell." And man went visiting the next afternoon and knocked on the door, and there's a fellow in that house. He said, "I won't be back." So I didn't like what that preacher said last night. We sitting there. That he said he's glad the devil's going to hell. Ain't that something? He got offended because he wasn't a Christian and he wasn't saved and he is on the side of the devil. I'm glad he's going to hell. Aren't you? Now he's not going as long as I live. And he's not going as long as you live. And he's not going as long as God's people in the world, his church is here.
Right.
It's going to be a while before he goes.
Yes,
but he's going.
Amen.
He's going.
Yes,
you know why he's going? God prepared it for him.
Amen.
He can't get around it.
Right.
He can't get out of it. He's dead certain to go.
Right.
And angels that fell with him are going too. And those that believe the lie of the devil get deceived by religion and other means, they're going too.
Amen.
We got to be honest with folks.
Oh, yeah.
We got just to be honest with folks. In other words, somebody said, well, if you kind of cow down a little and back off a little and not be so bold and not be so forward and strong, you get more people. Well, that's true. You get more people. But God's not interested in more people. He's interested in souls being saved. I'm talking about really saved.
Yes.
One soul is worth a whole world. And it's better to reach one with the truth of the Word of God and he gets saved, really born again. And I still am an old-fashioned preacher, old-fashioned Christian. I just believe when a person gets saved, God makes a difference in them. I'm not backing off on that. I know whereof I speak. I know where I was when I got converted and I got saved. And I know what God did for me. And I know it's been a long time. And I'm telling you, I'm still going to church.
Amen.
I still like going to church.
Amen.
I still like Christian fellowship. I still enjoy the things of God.
Yes.
Now sometimes I get a little cold. Sometimes I get a little different. Sometimes my faith is weak.
Amen.
Is that not true?
But
about time, I like what old Brother Mitchell said. Brother Billy Mitchell said this. You heard him say it probably. I heard him say it more than once. But he said, you know, some people say all you get out of a service is what you put in it. He said, well, that may be true sometimes, not all the time. You've heard him say that, haven't you? You're just going to get out of a service. Why'd you put in a service? Well, he said, I don't think that's true all the time. He said, I've gone to church when I was depressed, discouraged, disheartened. And he said, I went because I knew I was supposed to, and I went because I knew I need to be there, and I went. And when they sung those good songs about amazing grace, that man of God preached the word of God. He said, I didn't have anything to put in when I went, but I sure got a lot out of it. And that is true. I've been there and you've been there. I've gone to services when I wasn't as spiritual as I ought to be. And I've gone to church when I wasn't as, other words, maybe as dedicated to the Lord as I should be. But I went. I sung those good songs, preached the word of God. And I didn't have a lot to put in it, but I sure got a lot out of it. And thank God that's what services are about. See, a lot of folks like, I hear it all the time, you say, well, I don't feel like going to church. Well, go whether you feel like it or not. If you go, you'll feel better than you leave. Somebody said, I had a dark brown headache and couldn't go. Well, it didn't keep me going to work. Say amen. I guess I'm sick of these people making excuses. In other words, you witness to them, knock on their doors. I'm talking about church members. Well, I just don't feel like it. I'm tired. I worked all week. Well, so what? That's what Sunday's for, to rest up on. That's why God ordained the first day of the week. You labor 6 days. God wants you to rest on the first day of the week. Amen. See, the devil is the blame for the fall of man. The devil's the blame for the fight that we have. And the devil is the blame for the fires of hell. And you never believe what a person may tell you. These preachers I was talking about earlier, these Calvinistic preachers, one fellow said, well, God may give you a Jacob, and God may give you an Esau. I got my belly full of that. I'm in this meeting now, and all this, while the other preachers were there with me, they didn't say anything about it, but the others left and left me by myself. And they loaded in every time they preached, they got on it. I mean, God may give you Jacob, God may give you an Esau. So I just told them, I said, well, I read in the New Testament where the Bible said, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And therefore, if he told you to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and you're praying for them, would God lead you to pray for an Esau that had no opportunity to be saved? Would God burden you for Esau? God is not going to burden you to pray for anybody that's not capable of being saved. And I could park right here a few minutes. These reprobates, these folks have crossed that line, according to Romans chapter 1, did not want God, would not have God, would not retain God in their knowledge, and therefore went against nature. Same-sex marriage, sodomites. When that sodomite says, God made me this way, and I'm not about to change, I'm not about, God made me this way, I'm a child of God, he has gone too far, and therefore if he'll not repent, he'll go to hell. And I got news for you, God's not going to lead me to witness to one there's no hope for. I'm sorry about that. Somebody said, I ought to witness to everybody. I agree with that. I think you ought to witness. But if he's a reprobate and there's no hope for him, is God going to lead you to spend your time trying to get him saved? Okay, now you've got to be spiritual to get in on that.
Amen.
All right, the devil is the blame. That's what the Bible said. Eve, why'd you do what you did? The devil. The devil made me do it. Well, he didn't make her do it, but he caused her to do it. Amen. Let me give you this one through. See, the Bible tells us that the old devil is like a roaring lion going to and fro on the earth, devouring who he may. The old devil is your enemy. But he's defeated.
Amen.
Was it you said this morning, the devil's already defeated? That's true. The Bible said when Jesus died, he died and destroyed the works of the devil. And he did. So our Lord has defeated the devil. So when I was saved and you were saved, you know what the Lord did? He brought us out of the kingdom of the devil into the kingdom of God. Out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Took us off the broad way, put us in the narrow way. And by the way, repentance is not turning around on the broad way. When you get saved, he takes you off the broad way. That's going down to misery and hell and destruction. He doesn't turn you around on it because it's not going toward heaven. Amen. He takes you off that broad way, puts you on the narrow way, the straight and narrow way. You was going down to hell. Now he's talked you, put you, translated you, in other words, on the narrow way, and now you're going up to heaven.
Yes.
See, that's the work of God. So the old devil don't like that kind of preaching. He don't like the word of God. But see, when our Lord saves us, and I'm through, he pardons us.
Amen.
By grace. There's grace all the way through the Bible.
Amen.
Adam got saved by grace.
Amen.
Noah got saved by grace.
Amen.
Found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. Abraham's in the Ur of the Chaldees.
Amen.
Worshiping idols.
Right.
Bound down to strange God with his daddy.
Uh-huh.
And one day God spoke to Abraham. You say, how did he do it? I don't know how he did it. I just know faith comes by hearing him with the word of God.
Amen.
I read in a commentary years ago where the commentator said, well, the reason that God spoke to Abraham and not his father, Abraham kind of leaned toward God. That's not true.
Amen.
Abraham was an idolater, worshiping idols like his daddy, but Abraham, like Noah, found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
You ever notice that in the Bible?
Yeah.
It's always grace.
Amen.
So we're pardoned. No man can bring any charge against us. I like that. No man can bring any charge against God's elect. Slate's wiped clean. It's already been settled. But pardon. And when you get pardon, you have peace. Is that not true? You let a man get some pardon, he'll have some peace. And then also, not only did God give us pardon and give us peace, but thank God, we have a place.
Amen.
We have a place. Our Lord said, I'm going to prepare a place for you.
Amen.
If it were not so, I would not have told you so.
Right.
I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I'm going to prepare a place for you, I will come again for you.
Amen.
So I'm glad I'm pardoned. I'm glad I have peace with God. And I'm glad I can have the peace of God. And there's a difference. There's a difference. You have peace with God when you're justified. The peace of God is when you walk with him. Have fellowship with him. I'm glad I'm pardoned. I'm glad I got peace. And I'm glad I got a place in heaven. We have an inheritance. Undefiled. Amen. Reserved for us in heaven. Undeserving? Yes. Adam didn't deserve what God did for him. You think Adam deserved that? Adam probably should have gone to hell like the devil. But see, God's God. His ways not our ways. His thoughts not our thoughts. But he always does right. I'm glad he went after Adam. I'm glad Jesus came as the last Adam and paid that debt we couldn't pay.
That's right.
I say to you tonight, the old devil's to blame. Don't let anybody tell you he's not.
Right.
He's not a good devil. He's wicked, mean, overbearing, a bully. You couldn't say enough bad things about him.
Amen.
The devil is to blame. Brother Doug, come on.